We talked the other night about Ezekiel, and of course Ezekiel being in exile and speaking of the torment that came to Jerusalem and to Israel itself, and how that God said, I'll not give this land to you the way you've been acting. Now, he was talking to those who were still there. And so we find, of course, Jeremiah had prophesied that they would be gone for 70 years, and they were repatriated, and they rebuilt the temple. They've completed the wall around the city of Jerusalem, was restored, and temple worship. You know, they're trying to get everything back, and they're building, and they're working together. You know how good that feels when you're just working together to get something done? And you step back and you look at what you've done. You say, look at what we've done together. And that's really the experience that all of Israel was feeling at that moment. But there was still something missing. Guys, we could have a great church where everybody works in unison, in symphony, and gets a lot of stuff done. And we can accomplish much. But understand something. The church, God's people, must have the Word of God. And that's where they come here. And chapter 8, it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law of Moses. We need the word of God, they said. We want to hear it. We want to hear what God has to say through Moses to us. And so they're calling for Ezra, the priest, to read to them the Word of God. Now, they weren't asking for preaching. They were asking for the Bible, for the Scripture. Guys, that's what we need. The Bible is the living Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts to the quick. It's right to the bone and the marrow. It'll cut right through us and get to our soul. And that's what they needed. They had done much. There was momentum. There was revival. But they said, something's missing. We need the Word. You know, there's a lot of people that would, in their hearts and their minds, they'd do just fine going out and feeding the hungry and sheltering the homeless and clothing those who need it and giving to the poor and doing all these good works. And you know, they don't care anything about God's Word. But God's people need God's Word. We need it. Whether you're reading it or listening to it or coming to church and getting it that way, we need God's Word. The pure Word of God. And that's what they desired. In verse number 4, it says, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. They had planned that at some point, they were going to come together and hear God's Word read. And you understand, right now, is in this text, it's the seventh month. They're preparing for the festival, for the feast. And they've come together, they've restored again the temple and the city and the priesthood. All those things are ready, but they say we need the Word of God. And so they prepared a pulpit for Ezra to come and unroll, right, a scroll to unroll the Word of God and to read to the people. By the way, there were people on his right and people on his left. And as you read the names of those people in the following verses, you'll see some names in there, and I don't, you know, I've looked at the time frame, but there's some people in there, Brother Andy, that are curious to me. Their names, I say, that I'd recognize those names from somewhere. And I've been researching and trying to be able to tie it together. I could tell you this, that if it's the people I think it is, they're old at this point. And they may be. But anyway, I'm going to make you look at it. You look at it on your own time. Verse 2. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. I want you to think about that. You know, if you go to the Western Wall today, the Wailing Wall, as we call it, outside the Temple Mount, the Jews gather, and then when they bring out the Torah, the scroll, the Word of God, when they bring it out, it's pomp and circumstance. Boy, it's very exciting. Oh, they're bringing the Word of God. And as they've restored the temple and all these things, Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And when he brought out the word of God, you imagine the hearts of these people. Don't we take it for granted? Don't we? We do. I tell you, we do. I tell you, this is the most precious treasure I've got. It really is. Oh, we need the word of God. We need to know God's heart. And he's given us his word, and we shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't neglect it. We need to read it. We need to love it. By the way, mark in it. It's not a museum piece. You need to have notes in there, little marks to bring your attention to things that are important, that stand out. But anyway, he brought the word of God out, and understand, it was everybody was there. Anybody who could understand. The children need the word of God. I'm not against games. When I was youth pastor, we'd have volleyball games and go skating and go bowling. But on church time, we were at the church house in a room like we do now. And the Bible was open and the Word was taught. And I'll tell you something, that built a youth group that skating rinks and bowling alleys can't touch. That's how you do it. They need the Word of God. And I'm glad to see young people here tonight. They need God's Word. And it says everybody, all that could hear with understanding. Verse number 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday. Now you say, well, Pastor, 11 o'clock's morning, so don't get carried away, right? Look, they got in there, and they got in there in the morning, and they stayed, and they listened, and they listened. And what were they listening to? They were listening to him. Look at what it says. It says, he read, verse 3. He read. There was some teaching that comes along later, but he read right out of the book. And they just stood there and listened to it. When he brought the book out, they all stood, the Bible says. And he read until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and all the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now, I've been doing this a long time, and I can tell when I've lost you. I can tell when the ears have disconnected from the message. It's not just, I don't look at your ears, I look at your eyes. And I don't mean because you fell asleep. I've had people fall asleep before. I can handle sleeping. But it's when we're just playing and distracted by other things. Look, the church covenant's on that wall. You know why? Because if it was up here, you'd be reading it. That's why it's back there. And keep our attention on the Word of God. All the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was above all the people, like on a stage, like I am. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Oh, such reverence. Such reverence for the Word of God. Boy, they just wanted to hear it. Look, the Word of God being opened before them was like walking in to the presence of Almighty God. Wow. How about that? Like walking into His presence. As Ezra read the law, it wasn't like listening to Ezra. It wasn't like hearing Moses. It was as if they were in the presence of God when God spoke. They stood and they listened. They didn't sit down. It doesn't say they grew weary. It doesn't say that they listened as long as they could and began to leave one by one or group by group. They stood and they listened. Well, number one, they didn't have a Bible they could go home and read. This was an opportunity to hear the Word of God that they didn't have all the time to listen to. It was an opportunity for them to be in the presence of others of the same faith, to have their priest stand before them and read this. And by the way, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people in that street. chapter 7, verse 66, the whole congregation together was 42,360. 42,000 people standing there. I said 100,000, but 42,000 is still a big crowd. That's a big crowd. By the way, that's besides men servants and maid servants. So there's more. But there was a lot of people there. All gathered, all listening. They didn't have a PA system, didn't have a microphone amplifier. God was able to make it work. They stood there in the street before the water gate, and Ezra read the word of God, and they listened with respect. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. You see, it wasn't just the people that were impressed that it was God's word. It was Ezra that was impressed. And I'll tell you something. It's hard for the church to get impressed, unless the preacher's impressed with the word of God. Oh, man. We've got to have a pastor that loves God's word. Got to have a pastor that honors God's word and that honors God. Look, he didn't just honor his word. It says he blessed the Lord. He praised God. And it says the people answered, amen, amen. See, y'all are supposed to do that. It's biblical. Not just that, it says that they lifted up their hands. Y'all didn't think Baptists could do that, but you can. It's okay. It's legal. And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces toward the ground. Oh, they just reaching up to God, praising God. Amen, amen. They just love Jesus. I know it's Old Testament. It's still Jesus. Faces to the ground. They loved God and they worshiped God and they felt so honored. Understand, these people were in a foreign land that didn't like them and didn't want them there, but abused them and used them. And now they've come home and they've rebuilt the city and they've rebuilt the temple. And now they're going, this is God's mountain. This is God's temple. And they're standing before it and God's man is reading God's word. And all of a sudden they've got revival in their souls and they're so happy to be home. You see, it wasn't the work that did all that. It was the word that did all that. We talk about, well, you show, you know, James said, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith with works. Well, let me tell you something. Show your faith with the word, too. Get in the word. We need the word of God. You know, preachers come up with some crazy ideas sometimes, don't they? You got to be careful because some preachers can lead you astray. But if you'll read the Bible, and even if it's on TV or on the computer or on the radio, as long as you're not driving, but if you're listening to a preacher preach, open your Bible. If you're on Facebook, open your Bible. And see if what he's saying is what's in there. Or if he's making stuff up, throwing in his, you know, his own slant to the how things should be. You see, it's right there. They love the Word of God. And then it says in verse 7, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebetai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah. There's one of those words. You might want to look that one up. Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites. Look, caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood. And they stood there and listened. They wanted to know. Guys, the land was taken from them. They were taken and put in a foreign land. Why? Why did God do that? If God promised this land to Abraham, and God really loved Abraham and blessed Abraham and Isaac and Israel and all his descendants and all his people as far as the more numerable than the sand of the sea. If God really loves us and really blessed us, why would he rip us out of our land and send us to a foreign land? Now we're back. We've rebuilt the city. We rebuilt the temple. We want to figure it out so it doesn't happen again. Wouldn't it be great if God's people could figure out how not to lose their hope and not to lose their faith and not to lose the fire of revival that draws us to God and draws us to his word and makes us want to share the gospel? Wouldn't it be great if we never lost that? If it never got weak and shallow? Tell us how. Tell us how to fix it, Ezra. And Ezra read it. And the Levites explained it. Verse 8, so they read in the book the law of God distinctly. You know what that means? They didn't use the Pahokee translation. That's what that means. They read the word of God just like it was. And then they explained it. They gave the sense. You know what that is? That's the Pokey translation. They gave the sense. They explained it. They made it where people could understand. What does that mean? How does that apply to me? That's where the preaching and the teaching came in and caused them to understand the reading. You know, one of the kids the other day said something about Sunday being the Sabbath. And I said, no, Saturday's the Sabbath. I mean, I don't know why we would teach anything else. The Bible says Sunday or Saturday's Sabbath. It never changed that. But that's what happens is we get a little sloppy in our understanding and our teaching, our acceptance, and we've got to push it right back. What does the Bible say? So that means we shouldn't work on Saturday? That's what it means. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. A day of rest. We need rest. How many of you need rest? Amen. Everybody needs rest. You've got to take that Sabbath and make it a holy day of God. And rest. And then verse 9, Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, with the governor, he's the leader. The word actually means the fear. And Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said to the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. They felt conviction, didn't they? They were sorry for their sins. They regretted how they had broken God's law, how they had trespassed against God's word. And they began to cry, and they began to think about all of their sin as it was brought out in the messages of the Levites and the leaders. And they felt convicted, and they thought about that lie or that event that they did where they sinned against their family or against their friend and against God, and they were bitterly broken over it. And so they wept. And the leader said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, this is a holy day. This is a day of celebration. Look, we finished the city. We finished the temple. We're ready to do this for God. And so don't look at all the regrets of your past. And don't think about all your sins of the past. Look at what we've accomplished. Look at what we're doing. Look at what God's doing through us. God has brought us back here for a purpose. So don't weep. Verse 10, he said, go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, your repentance, your heart toward God, your love toward God, your sorrow of your sin brings God joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so he says to celebrate. Celebrate. And not sulk in regret. Guys, we have communion and we bring out the bread and the elements, the juice and the bread, and we say, if there's anything that's you have against your brother, if there's any sin that's in the way of your relationship with God, you need to not take of the bread, not drink of the cup, unless you can settle that, unless you can make it right. The idea is not for us to refuse it. The idea is for us to make it right. Jesus said, you come before the altar to bring your alms and you remember that you have aught against your brother. You go and settle that and then you come back and give your alms. The idea is to make it right, not to just say, well, I'm just not ready yet. No, that's never taught in the Bible. Make it right and then come back. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites, verse 11, they stilled all the people. Hold your peace, the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink. I don't think that's hard to convince people, do you? Of all the things I've tried to get people to do, eating and drinking is not anything somebody's refused. Eat, drink, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Make great mirth. Celebrate, dance, sing, jump up and down. Have joy in your heart. because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Guys, I'm here to tell you, people want the Word of God. They need the Word of God. Don't get the idea that people don't love the Bible. People want the Bible. They need to hear from heaven. In fact, these people got so caught up in their joy and their desire to please and to serve God. You know what they did? They found in the book of the law where there was a feast of where the children of Moses of Israel should dwell in booths or tents or tabernacles, they called them. And so they would make little huts, little booths. And they would live in those booths for a week. Now, I don't think there's many of us that would get that caught up. We'd say, well, preacher, I'll help build it, but I'm sleeping at home in my own bed. You know what these people did? These people made their tents and they got out there. You know what it was for? It was to remind them where they came from. It was to remind them that on that journey from Egypt to the promised land, that for 40 years they slept in tents on the side of the road, trying to get where they were going. And so there's a Feast of Tabernacles. They celebrated for 7 days. And each day they spent of those 7 days, in verse number 18, it says, day by day, from the first day to the last, he read in the book of the law of God. Every day they got in the Word. Talk about revival. That's where we find revival, in the Bible, God's Word. In understanding where we came from, in understanding why we lost what we lost, in understanding where God has brought us and what we can do together. He said, don't weep, celebrate, because this is a new day and a new time. Let's stand. We think about what they were celebrating and we look to ourselves and we remember that God has given us the promise of salvation to all who believe. Yes, you have sinned, and I have sinned. But rather than live in the regret of those sins, we can call on God and ask forgiveness through Jesus Christ and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I put my trust, my faith in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and rose the third day. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul and use my life for your glory, in Jesus' name. God, we pray you'll dismiss us now with your grace and with your favor, that you'll draw us all to you and make us useful. We pray especially for Brother Cliff's family, all those who are grieving. Pray that you'll give them comfort, and for the Foggies also, in Jesus' name. Amen.